nuclear power plants get a helping hand. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The Department of Energy is offering $6 billion in financial assistance to nuclear power plants around the country to keep the electricity flowing. A lot of these plants are struggling financially, and some have already closed down. But the Energy Department says the country needs nuclear power if it's going to meet zero emissions targets. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Nuclear power plants have struggled to compete against electricity derived from natural gas. Until the past few months anyway, gas was plentiful and relatively inexpensive. Meanwhile, the nation's nuclear plants are decades old and need costly maintenance. The $6 billion civil nuclear credit program, funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law, is intended to offer these plants a lifeline to prevent them from shutting down before their licenses expire. Over the last 10 years, a dozen commercial reactors have closed prematurely. They're typically replaced by fossil fuel-burning power plants. There are 93 reactors left around the country, and officials say at least a quarter of them are at risk of closing. The Department of Energy will first prioritize aid to reactors in imminent risk of closure, and in a second round of funding later this year, will open up aid to other financially distressed plants. To be eligible for the aid, the nuclear plants must prove they can continue to operate safely and can stay in business after the government money runs out. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
It is earnings season, and we are hearing how companies did in the first quarter. Today, we've got Procter & Gamble numbers, and they did well, topped expectations. And part of the reason was they were able to pass along higher prices to consumers. So what does this tell us about the nature of inflation right now? Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors.
Well, it's still very early on in earnings season, so we'll hear a lot more from companies in the coming weeks. But what we are hearing is management addressed the increase in raw material costs. And what we're hearing is that so far, they've been able to pass that cost through to the consumer, and it hasn't really impacted profitability.
Right. And so I guess this is an example of where, you know, markets are happy about this, but that doesn't mean we should be happy about rising prices.
Investors are coming to the conclusion that the worst of inflation has passed. And after this, we're going to see it moderate or potentially just go away. But investors are definitely feeling more confident about it. And so we're seeing an increase in the overall market levels. That's a positive because we want investors to feel confident about businesses. That's why they invest. And managements are certainly helping that with their commentary around earnings.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The status of gig workers in some states is still being worked out in the courts, and that may determine how much companies have to help those workers if something goes terribly wrong on the job. KQED's Aditi Bundlamudi reports.
Keyshawn, who's asked us to not use his last name for safety reasons, used to drive for DoorDash in San Diego. One night last August, he had picked up an order from Jack in the Box and was getting ready to deliver it when he was shot in the face and crashed into a traffic signal pole. His aunt, Jassy Stokes Oliver, says she wasn't sure if he would survive.
This is gnarly. This is not something that should be happening to someone that's just working.
Keyshawn did survive, but many other rideshare and delivery drivers have been attacked on the job and died. A new report released by the advocacy group Gig Workers Rising found that more than 50 drivers have been killed in violent incidents over the past 5 years while on the job in the United States. Sherry Murphy, an organizer with the group and a former Lyft driver, says the report doesn't include drivers who are killed in fatal car accidents or from injuries sustained while on the road.
The killings are the tip of the iceberg. They're being sexually assaulted, physically assaulted, emotionally accosted.
Gig companies have responded to the report with written statements, pointing out the safety features the apps do provide drivers. Lyft, Uber, and DoorDash have an in-app emergency button drivers can press if they feel unsafe during a ride. But if something bad does happen, many state laws only provide drivers with a certain amount of coverage.
these workers aren't afforded the important legal protections that they deserve.
In California, gig companies spent millions to pass Proposition 22. It classifies gig workers as independent contractors and therefore eligible for a slimmer benefits package than what employees would get. In Keyshawn's case, DoorDash was legally obligated to cover his medical bills and give him $300 a week in disability payments for 2 months, about half of what he would make if he wasn't bedridden. Prop 22 only requires companies to give disability payments for up to 2 years in the case of a permanent, on-the-job injury that prevents gig workers from working. Non-gig workers who are full-time employees could get lifetime benefits. Jassy Stokes-Oliver says Keyshawn's injuries could have long-term effects.
There are still fragments of bullets still in my nephew's head, and I don't know if those things are going to affect him later.
The San Diego Police Department say Keyshawn's case is still an active investigation, and they haven't made any arrests yet. The constitutionality of Prop 22 is currently being debated in courts. Meanwhile, gig companies are lobbying to push similar measures in other states. I'm Aditi Bandlamudi for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.